And on the line, we've got Don Sutherland. G'day, Don. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you, Annie? And g'day to all your listeners.
Yeah, well, the takeaway from Kevin this morning was that Philip Lowe thinks that we should have a wages cut.
Yeah, that's where the Reserve Bank governor is taking things.
Unbelievable.
And the threat is that, well, what he's actually doing, you know, we have this period of growth in the Australian capitalist economy, and of course all capitalist economies, and Australia's no different, goes in cycles. And we're in the growth cycle for a little while now, although a distinctive feature of it is there's not much growth in workers' living standards. And so what's his solution to all that is to deliberately speed up the transition out of the growth period into the degrowth period, into the mini recession or mild recession or even worse, who knows? So, you know, what a solution. You know, we can't have the capitalist economy having a lasting growth period. No, we've got to deliberately make it worse. So work out the logic of that.
Well, one of the things go on. Yeah, sorry.
Go ahead, yes.
No. I'd like to hear what you think.
Well, I want to pick up a little bit on how that all connects to some recent discussion that's been going on about our standard of living with reference to superannuation kiddies and how they connect to the pension and the industrial wage. And we pick up on some points that Kevin was making about the talk going on between ex-Prime Minister Keating and ex-ACTU Secretary Kelty, and how that has moved from the Australian Financial Review. It's very interesting that Keating and Kelty push their views about things like industrial relations law, captured very well by Kevin in his comments, but also they were talking about the future of industry superannuation, which in plain language is the future of workers' savings.
Yeah. All they need is another K, and we'd have a trifecta, KKK.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I can't find out where that might come from. But the guts of it is that just before the Jobs and Skills Summit, Keating and Kelty, the discussion started in some quarters run by the Financial Review, because they've been trying to pull apart and get their hands on or enable the rich and powerful to get their hands on workers' savings that are in superannuation funds for some years now, about how to access those workers' savings. And the big talk has now moved, Keating and Kelty encouraging the idea that a big swathe of workers' savings should be made available to the banks.
Oh, my God.
Made available to the banks for the purposes of social housing. They don't call it social housing.
Oh, that's so outrageous.
It is outrageous. They don't call it social housing. They don't call it public housing. They call it affordable housing.
Yeah. What is it? Just big wads of money for the fat bums in the developer sector?
And in the first instance, it's about $576 million worth, and that would expand in the scheme they're talking about. Now, this is very interesting about how that was all picked up. Now, this is before the Jobs and Skills Summit, and lo and behold, the Treasurer comes out just before then and says he's very interested in this idea as a means of funding, instead of the government funding socially useful housing or public housing, instead of the government doing that, it's what the government can do to enable the big banks and other financial institutions like Macquarie Bank to get their hands on workers' savings with the agreement of the superannuation fund trustees. And
outrageous.
After the summit, this story starts to percolate into mainstream media. And the main vehicle for that is the online newspaper called The New Daily.
Yep.
Which is owned by superannuation funds, and they are exploring this idea, and we have now, this is very interesting, the way in which the Laborist elites operate when they've got a scheme in mind that somehow or other has some historical connection to Labor traditions, but which enables something like housing and the necessity of more public housing to be made available under the rubric of affordable housing, how to make that happen. And so we have Wayne Swan, who is the chair of CBUS, one of the really big industry super funds, and he starts writing about it and explaining why it is legitimate for the superannuation funds to be considering this whole idea of our... Now, what is interesting about the Swan articles, he says this, and I'm going to quote, and then I'm going to demonstrate how what he says is a nonsense. He says, quote, "What is clear after 30 years of compulsory super is that the majority of Australians have super accounts that will help provide the sort of comfortable and enjoyable retirement their parents could barely dream about." End of quote.
Well, that's a lie.
That is demonstrably not true.
That's exactly right.
The latest figures, the statistics produced by the super funds themselves, show that for people nearing or at retirement age, the median kitty that they've saved for a bloke is $180,000. We're talking the median, not the average. $180,000 for women, it's a good deal less, reflecting the gender pay gap. In fact, it's $140,000. Now, in other words, what that means is that a half of people with superannuation savings in industry super funds have a value that will be useful for them for around, in the case of women, about 2.5 to 3 years at the most, and for blokes, about 2.5 to maybe a little bit more years. And then they are dependent upon the pension.
Which I might add, the last lot said was not earned, but a bit of largesse from the government. You know, you shouldn't feel entitled to it.
Yeah, that's right. They really defined it as a charity, although not using exactly that word,
no,
to my knowledge, anyway. But that's how they were characterising it. Instead of it being an entitlement flowing from workers' decades of hard work and paying their taxes...
And having been fought for.
And having been fought for, exactly. So, now, remember, we're talking about a median. Now, that means that a big proportion of people who are below that median have even less superannuation savings.
That's right.
Now, all of that is the product of two things. Firstly, the expansion of precarious work, and associated with that, the suppression of wages by the industrial relations system created by the Labor government in 2009.
That's right.
So here we have this interaction, if you like, between industry superannuation, the age pension as an element of the social wage, and the industrial wage. Now, what does this all mean? Now, what's going on is that the broader population is being mind-managed, in my view, to enable profit-making to be introduced into any expansion of socially useful housing.
Yeah.
Now, we all know that how important access to housing is in living standards and how it connects to the reduction of the experience of poverty. We know that. We know that the capitalist system itself cannot deliver socially useful housing itself. However, it's got a political problem, and that is more and more people are getting angry and frustrated with the very poor provision of socially useful housing. And so they've got to manage that. And the way to manage it is to turn to what they call affordable housing, provided that it's profitable. And the jargon they use for that is risk return.
Oh, my God.
So the purpose of the $576 million that will be pulled out of the government statutory authority and made available to be accessed in, I think, through bond arrangements and so on. It's a bit unclear at the moment. To be accessed by people who manage workers' savings is quite outrageous.
You know, this is interesting because it's very similar to, I mean, I know it's a side issue, but Liz Truss, who's just taken on the mantle in England, has made some announcement about how they're going to cap electricity prices for domestic use, but without any information about how that's going to happen.
Well, I think there are...
I mean, it's this business about putting forward policies but with nice names, but without any information about how they think it's actually going to practically happen.
Yeah. When you have a former treasurer like Wayne Swan chiming in sync with the Australian Financial Review plan that's been around for several years and overlaps with the energies of that appalling character, Tim Wilson, from the Liberal Party, and then overlaps with the thinking of, you know, the great architects, Keating and Kelty, publicised in the Financial Review in the first instance to help, if you like, the readers of the Financial Review, who are overwhelmingly investors, to understand the investing opportunity in the future. There is something about mind management going on. And then you have the current treasurer very gently saying he's very interested in working through these ideas, and then he comes out and he's actually come out now in mainstream media and said he wants to make it a major issue at the next meeting of the state and federal finance ministers, which is coming up it might even have been held yesterday, I'm not sure. But so you have this process going on where once again, something is being done to the working class in Australia, or many of whom do have very small superannuation accounts at this stage. And the outcome is not going to, is only going to produce housing, improvement in housing accessibility on the basis that it's profitable.
It's so callous.
One of the things we know about the profitability as a benchmark is that things go drastically wrong when it comes to their social value.
Yeah, it's so callous. I mean, the fact that people have such small superannuation accounts make it quite clear that the age pension was never going to be superseded by superannuation. It was really about amassing huge amounts of money for a particular class to invest.
That then takes us to what's going on with the age pension. What's going on with the age pension right now is there is downward pressure on the value of the age pension
as well.
Even though there is, in principle, a reasonable scheme about how it should be increased every 6 months based upon two cost of living measures, the principle that whatever the increase that is applied, it must have a relationship with male total average weekly earnings, 27.7% of male total average weekly earnings for single pensioners and 43.7% for couples. Now, however, if you've got downward pressure on wages, And that's the benchmark.
And in precarious work.
Because of precarious work, then you have downward pressure on the value of the pension. And that is a big reason why you have more and more pensioners, especially single pensioners, now on or below the poverty line. Now, there are two points from that. There is no discussion about dealing with that problem in the context of either this October budget coming up, nor at this stage in the big-time budget that will happen in May next year. And then secondly, all of this discussion about how to use workers' savings and how it must not be allowed to stress the budget by doing something about the age pension, it's about workers' savings.
Yeah, pilfering workers' super.
It's not about the gross wealth that has been gathered by a minority of the population, obscene levels of wealth in Australia, starting with characters like Twiggy Forrest and Gina Reinhart, but they're just the tip of the iceberg about how obscene it really is. There's no discussion about taking anything from them. This is a Labor government, and it's saying that the solution is to tap into workers' savings.
Yeah, yeah. And the Australian Financial Review, how outrageous. Here we have this piece of mainstream media purporting to be a clean skin sort of analyzer of note, when in actual fact it's purely a advertising rag for a particular section of the community.
Well, it's a very important journal in some ways.
Yeah.
The quality of journalism isn't what it used to be, but it is very important because it's where it's in a sense the primary journal, daily journal for the ruling class.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what it is.
To solve the problems that they see in front of them, and to and also to report to each other about what's going on with investment strategies and all of that sort of stuff. But there is very useful political, what I call political economy type news.
Yep.
And you get by reading the Financial Review, you get clues about what is being discussed at the highest level of the elites and of the ruling class. And they are clear, and reading their editorials is a very useful exercise to understand a little bit more about the class enemy. And that sounds a little bit jargonistic to use that language, but when you look more closely, they define us as the class enemy, make no mistake.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I mean, no class war here. Oh.
The final point worth making is this, is that the current management of industry super funds is infinitely more, no, not infinitely, that's exaggerating, it's somewhat more democratic than, of course, the private retail funds. And that's one reason why their performance is overall much stronger. However, there are failings in the current system as well, and the most important one is that the democratic aspect of how workers' savings are managed must be and should be improved dramatically, and that is to enable workers themselves to have much greater say about how their accrued savings should be invested. And I think that if that was the case, we would cut the workers themselves having much greater say rather than relying upon union representatives who are trustees on the boards, rather than just relying on the very narrow definition of fiduciary responsibility to make these sort of decisions, that worker democracy in the management of the super funds, a scheme can be developed so that there will be much better ways of using workers' savings as social investments that directly benefit them and their families.
Yeah, that would be a great day.
That is not going to be discussed about unless those of us who think that workers have the capability of making good decisions democratically is enabled, and that's missing from all of this. But I think the first step is to make sure more and more people are aware that there is a very dangerous discussion and decision making going on amongst in the interaction between Labor's elites and the banking system.
The big con.
And employer organisations.
Yeah, the big con. We'll have
it's
to finish it then.
Potentially something of that nature, yes.
Yeah, yeah. They make movies about this sort of thing. That will have to do for today. Don, thank you very much. That was absolutely fascinating, and you did exactly what you said you were going to do. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's a pleasure to join in. I look forward to the next time.
Yeah.
All the best to everybody.